I am free. I do not have a mic there. So I can move around, and that should be good. Anyway, we are continuing on in this series that we started. We've had a couple of messages now. I think last week was definitely also in the vein. But I'm calling my part of it Healing Revisited. So this is the second message. I'll do 2.0 and just keep going 3.0, 4.0. And tonight, we were going to deal with two things, but I decided that the issue of fear was big enough. We're going to deal with lack of love at another time. Because again, if you remember when we first started, we were going to look at the just healing, but also barriers. Like, why are we not seeing more of it, you know? And I want to tell you that tonight, I believe that this is maybe the biggest issue, is the issue of fear. And so we're gonna dive into this tonight. But, you know, a good teacher always reviews what we did before. And if you remember, we had two questions that we're going to start every one of these healing messages with. The first one is, how long would you have had to follow Jesus around until you saw somebody healed? Not long. How long would someone have to follow you around until they saw somebody healed? That is the goal of this series, is that we can see this time narrowed so it's a little bit closer to that time. If we're going to follow Jesus and we're going to take his name, then we should probably see some of the things that he saw happen in his life happening in our own. So those are our review questions. And I wanted to, before I just jump into things, I wanted to introduce this blog that we started back in 2006. After that first message I did on God's will and healing, I blogged about it back in January. I'm going to show you a little piece I did. But if you remember, we hit that hard and shook some of our foundations, I think. Back when we started this thing, we had a whole team of people that put in testimonies. Anybody they saw healed, they would just write it up, and you could send an email to the blog and it would just post. I was thinking it would be awesome if we started that up again from our little crew. Now, I also started a Substack for Rock OC. It's a blog that we could do it there. It wouldn't have to be this blog. So, but if we want to start doing that, I think that would be cool. People just, you know, oh, I just saw somebody healed at Starbucks, and then send an email to the blog and it posts as a testimony. But I wanted to highlight an excerpt from my blog, which again, I wanted to review. I reviewed the questions, but I think this little imagined conversation is a great illustration of our whole message on reviewing God's will and healing. So after watching it, Jesus healing the leper, try to imagine Jesus saying no. Remember, we saw the scene where the leper was healed. It was so powerful in The Chosen. Try to imagine him remaining socially distanced from the unclean, rejected, ostracized man and saying, I could cleanse you and restore you to society, but I checked with the Father, and we are choosing to trust you with this affliction for a secret, unknown purpose. Again, this is imaginary. But don't worry, you'll be healed in heaven after the horrible life that you have lived and will continue to live, because no one will ever approach you or relate to you normally. You can't imagine Jesus doing that. You can't imagine him saying that. That is not the way he deals with people who are afflicted and they come to him and they cry out for mercy. That is not what he says. All of us who know Jesus know that he would never have done that. He would never have said that. It would have been cruel. It would have been evil. And yet many attribute such a posture to God in saying that he is able to heal, and yet he chooses to say no to many, if not most, who in desperation ask him for help. So anyway, that was my, I got this idea from Dan Moeller. He's always trying to put, imagining things Jesus would never say, you know? And so I did my Dan Moeller, and I thought it was illustrative of what we were talking about. Anyway. So this is the big question tonight. you know, that we are going to dive into one aspect of, but why don't we heal the sick? For many years, look, I can move now because I got this wireless mic. So fun. Anybody ever saw me preach at the Vineyard? There's no way I was staring near a podium. Anyway, so I would say that one of the reasons that we don't heal the sick, and this is where I was for years, is we're ignorant. We don't even realize that we have the power, the authority, the mandate to heal the sick. We're just told we're supposed to read a book until Jesus comes back. So I would say one reason people don't heal the sick is because they're ignorant. Another reason, and we got into this whole thing of God's will last time, but I think that there's deception and there's false teaching, that Jesus doesn't want to heal, or, you know, he healed for his life, and then the apostles healed for a few years, and then God just decided to shut it all down. Cessationism, right? So that's another reason that maybe we don't heal the sick. But clearly in this crowd, with this tribe, we are not ignorant and we're not deceived because we've been hidden this stuff. So maybe we struggle with unbelief, okay? I would say the Christian life, in a nutshell, is we are waging war on unbelief. And so this is clearly a factor. I mean, I was today at a track meet with my daughter and Patrick, and I saw a girl who was severely crippled with a walker. And she was standing right next to me, and I didn't pray for her. I didn't even think about offering to pray for her, you know, even though I was going to preach on healing tonight. But if you would have asked me, because Natalie and I were processing this afterwards, why I didn't pray for her, I've never seen somebody as severely crippled as her healed of that condition, right? And so I feel like probably, because I wasn't afraid, I would have talked to her. I wasn't afraid to talk to her. I wasn't ignorant. I think God wants to heal her. I just was in that situation. All right. So tonight we're going to really dig down with this one, though, the whole issue of fear, either fear of failure or fear of man. And we'll get into that in a minute. But I think these are probably the four main reasons why we're not healing the sick. And what we want to do is continue to just wage war. Hey, Rose, are you good? You're good? Okay. All right. Anyway, Rose is amen and things. I can hear it. I hear amen when, you know. Anyway, the last one that I would say I'd add to this is that we lack love. And I'm going to hit this in another message. I was going to do it tonight. But honestly, I think this is a convicting thought, is that literally, we see people who are afflicted, we see people in pain, and we just don't have enough compassion to say, hey, I want to go and pray for that person. Anyway, we're going to hit that at another time for another message. Are there any other reasons that you can think of why we or you don't heal the sick? I think this is a fairly comprehensive list, but am I missing anything? Can anybody think of other reasons why? Huh? Okay, probably fear of man. Maybe fear of man.
Because I'm a coward.
Okay, unbelief, coward. Fear, fear, yeah. Okay. Ignorance. I'm trying to cover the bases here. I was thinking, that's why I said any other reasons. Yeah. False teaching.
Inconvenient.
Maybe lack of love.
Well, I'm constrained.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Anyway, we want this list. We want to get the list as comprehensive as we can, so we can get rid of all of our excuses. Anyway.
One more.
Yeah.
Resignation.
So this you would.
Design. It's not my gift, not my thing.
Okay. Not my gift. Okay. All right. Yeah, I would probably put that under the false teaching thing. Like, it's not my gift. I've been out with people. Somebody gets healed, And they're like, oh man, I wish I had that gift of healing like you have. And I'm like, I never claimed to have that gift. I'm just praying for the sick. So anyway, I want to share tonight with as much honesty as I can about my own fear, moving from being more of a mainstream evangelical into being more of a charismatic. And so from 1984, when I got saved, until 2000, I would have identified myself as an evangelical. I now know that the position that I held, I would have called myself about the gifts and all of this stuff. I would say I'm open but cautious. I was never against this stuff, but there's a whole tribe of evangelicals out there that say they're open. I'm open. And my mentor, a man who mentored Natalie and I for the first 10 years of our charismatic life from 2000 until 2010, he said, on the day of judgment, there will be no rewards for being open. God cares about what we did, not, hey, but God, I was open to the gifts. He's like, no, what did you do? Did you use the gifts that I wanted to give? We're not going to get any reward for standing before God and him saying, hey, I'm just so glad, Dave, that you were so open to whatever I wanted to do. You didn't enter into any of it, but you're open to it, right? I love being able to move around. It's just so much more me. Anyway, I'm not teaching anymore. I'm preaching now, right? So anyway, but I would say that I was mostly in unbelief, and I was ignorant. I didn't know. Nobody ever told me, guess what? You know, here's the keys to the car, and you actually have a license to drive it. You know, I was brought up in a church that said most of the good stuff happened in the Bible and leave it there. And if you start talking about that stuff outside of the Bible, you're going to get extreme. You're going to be weird. And, you know, that I'm living in that place now. Lots of my old friends still have this in that camp. I invite them here all the time and they don't come. Anyway, so from 1984 until 2000, the time I got saved until 2000, I was in that camp. And I would say that this is just brutal honesty. But as an evangelical, I was very comfortable because I was in control. And I know that I would have evangelical pastors, if they were here, they would jump out of their seats and yell at me right now because I'm doing the Wizard of Oz. I'm going behind the curtain and I'm exposing it. They can control everything that they do. There's nothing in that life that I was living, nothing in that life. We could control it all. I could control the sermon. We could control this. And honestly, we were not, I don't think many evangelicals are really in touch in ministry with how much it's all about what they can control. And this is the crisis of faith that I had back in 2000, about that time, is that I realized right after I stepped out of kind of this, I'm just evangelical to being, I want to be more charismatic, is that I was at a service at the Vineyard here in Laguna Niguel, 2000, 2001, I forget exactly which year, it was right about the time that we were entering into this, and it was a ministry time, and we're going to do this tonight. So just in case you said, oh, I wish I was there, we're doing it tonight because somebody called out, there's people out there that are dealing with fear. And I'm like, gosh, like, I'm not like, I'm going to just call her out here. My mother-in-law, Vicky, they could have given a word that said, we want men with one leg who are over 60 from Japan to come forward. And she went forward for the ministry time. It didn't matter what the word was. She would find a way to go forward to get ministry, right? I wasn't like that. I couldn't do that. I watched my mother-in-law. There wasn't a conference and she wasn't getting ministry, right? Whatever, she was hungry, right? Anyway, so I'm sitting there going, oh gosh, the ministry time's for fear. I'm just going to sit here. And again, this was before phones, but if I'd had a phone, I would have been like probably checking sports scores or something. And then the Holy Spirit literally pulls me out of my seat and says, you need to go down. And I'm like, what, Lord? I'm not fearful. He said, oh, you're petrified because You've entered into a Christian life that you're no longer in control of. You could control a sermon. You can prepare, you can deliver a sermon, and if God doesn't show up, it doesn't matter. I know that sounds so harsh, right? But when you're talking about healing the sick and casting out devils and getting prophetic revelation from heaven, I'm no longer in control. I actually have to enter into faith. And I literally went forward in 2001, and Kent Larson, who I was hoping he would come tonight, but anyway, he started ministering to me. He started prophesying over me, and literally the Spirit of God came upon me, and I was on the ground. I could not get up. I was weeping. It was unbelievable what God was doing. And what he was doing is he was dealing, I believe he was delivering me from this control spirit that is a dominant spirit in so much of evangelical Christianity, right? And I gotta be in control. There are so many people that they're petrified. Men in ministry that are petrified of not being able to control what they're doing. The Christian life is by definition a life that we are out of control. He has to be in control. And we'll use all the language and we'll cover it up. But on that night, the Lord, I couldn't get up. I mean, it was funny. We learned after that, bring two cars, because Natalie's like, we need to go. The kids are, you know, whatever. We need to go. The kids are not.
I didn't know you weren't supposed to interrupt people. I was new to
I could have been having a Heidi Baker moment at that time. I could have been there for hours and hours, but Natalie wrestled me from it and quenched the Holy Spirit. Anyway, no, we joke about it now. So anyway, for me, tonight we want to go after this. And I, you know, if you're not in touch with your fear, Holy Spirit will make you in touch with it. So from 2000 onwards, like I said, I've been entering into this life of being not just an evangelical. I didn't leave behind being evangelical. I just added to it charismatic. So I'm a both and kind of guy, not an either or. But anyway, that's kind of my story that leads me to tonight's message. Now, what I didn't realize is that we're going to get to the fear of man and some of the fear issues, but I call it the grace of COVID, because during 2020 and 2021, I call it the grace of COVID because it was probably one of the most powerful times in our Christian life. God speaking, God giving us opportunities. And I call it the grace of COVID because everybody wants to curse COVID. But for us, it was a time of incredible grace. It was a time where God was speaking. It was a time where he was growing us. I think if people cooperated with the Holy Spirit during COVID, they could have grown more in those 1 to 2 years than they could have grown in 20 years. Yeah. So much was exposed. And what I realized is that it was a faith checkup for the church, or was it a fear checkup?
Yeah.
And I could not believe how many, this is why, you know, I was beating up on evangelicals earlier. Maybe it sounded like it a little bit. Now I'm going to beat up on the charismatics, because the charismatics just got brainwashed with the rest of the world. They shut their churches down. They stopped their conferences. What would Jesus do in a global pandemic? What would he have done? Socially distance and Zoom people? That's what he's doing in the Old Testament. It was a Zoom call. You know, heaven was speaking down through prophets. No, actually, you know, Jesus came to the planet. God incarnated, came to the planet. And the charismatic church had a wake-up call, you know. And I think, you know, I'll get to the point in a second here. You know, God wanted to see, he really likes to see if we mean what we say. So all these people that we love, signs, wonders, and miracles, revival, right? And then a pandemic that 99.83% of the people that got it survived without treatment. It's like he gave us a softball underhand pitch. I didn't want to say softball pitch, because if you see the way these women do softball, boom, that's not that. But like an underhand softball pitch, you know, it was like, it was the smallest little thing that could have come. Honestly, could you get any more survivable than 99.83%? It wasn't like it was Ebola. It wasn't like it was Hansa fever. There are diseases in Africa that 60, 70, 80% of the people that get them die. Now that would have really. But we got an underhand pitch. We got something little. And the response was, oh my goodness, fear is everywhere. And why was fear there? Because people were tuning in to the demonic sources of information. And they weren't listening to Holy Spirit. They were listening to sensible, the CDC or, you know, Dr., you know, Fauci, who, you know, it's hard to even say that name without wanting to say a curse word of some sort. Anyway, 2020 was charismatics, lots of talky-talky, but not a lot of walky-walky. You know, we need to walk our talk. Seriously. I had so many heroes up until the beginning of 2020, and those people, they're my zeros now. They went from hero to zero. I'm looking for people. The people that I respect today are the people that did not succumb to fear. Amen. And didn't use all sorts of, you know, whatever excuses. Anyway, so, I mean, I get it. If you don't believe in miracles, maybe you were going to get fearful. I was very, very, very gracious towards my non-charismatic friends because, of course, their faith is in modern medicine, not in God healing, but it's the charismatics who talk about healing endlessly that shut their churches down and stopped having their conferences. They only recently started not doing their Zoom conferences. It's crazy, many of them. Anyway, but during COVID, God gave us a mandate called fear extinguishing. I wrote all these blog posts about, we just knew, okay, God, what are we supposed to do in this hour? He says, people are fearful, and I've given you a mandate to go out and to extinguish people's fear. You know? And so, hi there, Rose. Hi, Rose. Can I have one? Hi there. Okay. All right. So anyway, we had this mandate. We thought, oh, it's so great. You know, in this hour, we have a mandate. We have a call. You know, so we had a mandate. I put that there. But God's purpose in giving us a mandate was to keep us free from fear. Yeah. I just realized it like dawned on me. Months later, it's like, God, you know, here we are thinking we're all like that and we got a mandate and we're like being charismatics. And all of a sudden he's like, I was just keeping you guys from fear. Yeah. Because if you've got an assignment and you know you're going out and people are freaked out and you want to go help them, God gave us a mandate to keep us free from fear. Yeah. All right. So, grace of COVID continued. So I was out on a prayer walk. I think I was taking Livy, my daughter's slash our dog, my dog soon to be exclusively my dog. Anyway, my dog. Anyway, not my daughter's dog anymore. Anyway, so I'm out and I see this banner and I'm thinking, oh my goodness, I need to think about renaming our church. I'm like, Fearless OC, it's a church in San Clemente called Fearless. I was like, I got to meet this guy. Sorry, you're going to get used to the big disappointment in just a second. But anyway, I was so excited. I'm thinking, who names their church Fearless? It was probably a church birthed in COVID. It was awesome, right? You know, I'm thinking Fearless churches, like ? Right? Anyway, well, Fearless churches were people that were meeting in person. Okay? Zoom from the Zoom. That's the word I got early on. Like May, June 2020, I hear the Holy Spirit say, time to Zoom from the Zoom. So, we're churches meeting in person, right? How about this? We're churches praying for the sick in person. You know? Were they, Russ? Yeah? All right. So, you know, and I, full disclosure, one of our church members here, I guess we call Celeste a church member. I don't know what anyway, I consider her a church member. Anyway. So she has COVID. So I didn't do this in the group. She has COVID right now. And she's home in Laguna. But I sent her a text and I said, Celeste, I just want you to know, please come tonight. We are not going to, not well. And I was going to use it as an illustration. See, let's just see. Celeste, COVID, 3 tests. We'll just watch how people react to that. Who's going to go lay hands on her? And who's going to run to the corner? I'm sorry, what would Jesus do? What did he do with that leper? Oh, socially distanced. Socially distanced was not invented in 2020. Social distancing was invented in the Old Testament when you couldn't get near an unclean person. And the Chosen has really illustrated that powerfully. All right, so this church, Fearless OC. So is it simply a name or is it a reality? Now, I don't know anything about this church other than I saw on their website, in-person services back January 1st, 2023. Fearless OC wasn't meeting in person until last month. Bye-bye! They're not fearless. Told you, you got to see this. It's just a name. It was just a name. I was going to go meet these guys. I'm like, oh my goodness. And when I saw meeting in person January 2023, I just about threw up on false advertising. Okay. Maybe their LA campus was better. I don't know. Anyway, God bless them. May they enter into fearlessness. Anyway, I don't know if they want to know that I just used their logo as a sermon illustration for a word that my father-in-law said earlier. I will not repeat the word coward. Anyway, fear versus faith. Just a couple of thoughts before we're going to get to steps to overcome fear, and then we're going to go into a ministry time where I believe Holy Spirit's going to deliver us from whatever fear we have. Anyway, fear has many names. I'm concerned about that. I'm not fearful. I'm just concerned, right? I'm apprehensive about that. You know, if I said, wait, I'm a little bit concerned that our pastor invited somebody with COVID to come to church who has 3 positive COVID tests and probably has a fever. I'm concerned about that. Okay? I just want to, you know, spell fear. Uncertain about. I'm worried. Anxious. You know? Anyway, I kind of tried to put them in the order in which they get stronger and stronger. One of our modern heroes in healing says fear is faith in the devil. That's a pretty blunt way to say it. Fear is faith in the devil. Is that why the commandment not to fear is 365 times in the Bible? Some would say one for every day of the year. Back in 2008, I was going into my blog and I was doing some stuff about, I was looking up fearless and fearlessness. And I remember I had blogged, and the last line of a blog post I did in 2008 is, fearlessness is faith. And it was related to a Muslim who had come to Jesus, and he was struggling with his faith becoming known outside of, you know, he was still a secret believer. So I shared the story of another believer that we knew who she's a former Muslim, but her faith, what she kept it secret and she never grew. So her fear became the prison that she lived within. And I'm not saying it's easy. I mean, believe me, we have some heroes. They testified, and one of the women that my wife mentored and discipled, I mean, she was beat up by her parents all night. Her father tried to kill her at one point with a knife because of her faith in Jesus. Now she's a missionary in another Arab country leading all sorts of Muslims to Jesus. But she had to overcome her fear. Yeah. Fear grows and can get fed, but so can faith. Yeah. Faith can grow and it gets fed like a muscle. Yeah. So we have to decide, what are we going to feed? Are we going to feed our fear? Or are we going to learn how to feed our faith? You know, I want to talk a little bit about that as we go on tonight in how you can grow in faith, how we can overcome fear. Anyway. Faith trumps fear even as love trumps hate. So they say that the strongest force in the universe is love, right? But that means that the second most powerful force in the universe must be hate as a counterfeit. But I think that fear is a very, very powerful force. but I believe that faith trumps it. And so, the myth of qualitative versus quantitative. This is coming back from my evangelical days. Qualitative means, okay, your faith needs to be in Jesus, right? It's the quality of your faith that matters, not the amount of your faith. And the bottom line is the Bible teaches both. Your faith has to be both in Jesus and it has to have substance to it. But the problem with a lot of the church is they don't believe that faith is quantitative. Why would Jesus have always said, ye have little faith? Right? He's always talking to people about faith, having their faith in God, yes, but he's also talking to them about the amount of faith that you have. How many people know that your faith can grow? It can grow. There is something even called the gift of faith, which is like a radical deposit of faith. Well, I'll tell you where we saw the gift of faith in operation personally. We were on a crusade with a revivalist, healing revivalist, and he got up on the stage and he said, the first three deaf people that come on the stage will be healed, or I'm a false prophet and we're shutting this whole thing down. Now I'm sitting there, I'm on the ministry team, and I'm going, how is he going to recover from this one?
It was the first night.
All the Mexicans are like, wait, we're supposed to have like three nights of meetings, and the big gringo that we called down here is going to shut this thing down if three deaf people don't hear tonight, and we're going to be able to call him a false prophet. I'm sitting there going, how is he going to get out of this? Well, the next day, he let us in on a little secret. He said, I should have probably told you guys, but in the afternoon, the Holy Spirit showed me three women that were going to come up and be healed. He saw it all in a vision. He wasn't just operating with presumption. He was actually operating with the gift of faith. Anyway, so.
And they were all healed.
It was an awesome start. Yeah, 1, 2, 3, and that was the start of the night. Three deaf women healed. All right. The fear of man. I think that this is the king of all fears. For anybody in the Christian life, I think it affects everything. And my advice, I'm so glad that Avery is here, because this is my advice to young people that want to follow Jesus. If you don't deal with the fear of man, you will never be able to live a successful Christian life. This is the reason that the vast majority of people that make a profession of faith want to follow Jesus when they're young at some point, and it is the fear of man that wages war on their faith, and ultimately they succumb to the fear of man, they succumb to the opinion of other people, of the boyfriend that they wanted to date or the girlfriend that they couldn't be without, and whatever it is, and actually it is what shipwrecks so many. I can look back on my life from the time I got saved as a teenager until today and just watch victim after victim fall to the, just succumb to the fear of man. But when it comes to healing, the questions are, what will they think of me? Maybe I'll offer to pray for somebody. They'll say no. Maybe it's even so much that you think, oh gosh, they'll mock me. I don't know what all the questions are. I was just trying to think of what would be, if you were struggling with the fear of man as it relates to healing, what would be the questions that you'd be asking yourself as you're sitting there wanting to go pray for somebody or even getting a word for somebody? But what is the hesitancy? What will they do? Like today, honestly, I wasn't thinking of any of that. Honestly, with that girl that was with the walker, I was thinking, I just really don't have the faith to go up and pray for this woman in public. To be honest, what if nothing happens? We have to get in touch with the real issues here. If I go pray for somebody, if I do what Dave is saying to do, if I go up to somebody who's got a cast on or is limping or a brace or whatever, what if nothing happens? What if they don't get healed? Right? What if nothing happens? What if they don't get healed? My experience is, because people ask me this all the time, you pray for Muslims, you've had all these, you know, these are followers of another religion. And we go up and we pray for them, and you, people think, oh my goodness, if you go as a Christian and you pray for them, and in Jesus' name, and they don't get healed, that's probably a really bad thing, right? No, actually, they're usually very thankful when they don't get healed. They can't believe that you would be so kind as to offer to pray for them. Because they're like unbelieving evangelicals. They believe that God can heal, but that he mostly doesn't heal. They think it's God's will. And so they're actually not upset when you pray for them. I've never, ever had a Muslim ever tell me, see, you know, your faith isn't true. See, I wasn't healed. You know, because I would have pushed back and said, how many times you got in prayer? Did Allah help you? No. Okay, well, you know, anyway, so we're both striking out here, but that's never been the issue. One time, there was this Saudi Arabian guy, he was in a wheelchair, and we went up to him in a mall, and we offered to pray for him, and he refused, and he was honest, though. I said, why won't you let us pray for you? He said, because if I got healed, you would shake my faith in Islam. I know. I said, thank you for being so honest. So, we got to get free from this thing. But anyway, so some steps that I thought about how we can overcome fear. First of all, we have to acknowledge it. You have to get in touch with it, and then you've got to confess it, and you've got to repent, right? So, right now, this whole Asbury revival thing, it's really being fueled by repentance, right? If we want to see Asbury happen in Orange County, call it, you know, what a dish revival, because it's downstairs. Anyway, if we want to see God move in our midst, even tonight, if we get in touch with our fear and we repent of it, that's going to attract heaven. I don't know what God's going to do in here tonight. But I'll tell you that the night that I acknowledged it and I went forward, I was pinned on the ground under the Holy Spirit's power, weeping for a long time. I don't know how long until Natalie wrestled me from it. But it was a long time and I couldn't get up. Holy Spirit was on me like a blanket. And I want to tell you right now, I haven't had many experiences like that. I should probably be examining myself and seeing, how can I get back to a place where I'm just so broken and contrite before God, acknowledging a fear issue, that Holy Spirit's like, there's some kindle that I can light a fire to. I think that's what's happening in Asbury. I think it's what's happening when it goes to other campuses, is that young people are getting together. And you know what? The thing about it is, I mean, I want to tell you, like, I want to be honest about my fear with this, because When somebody's honest about a struggle that they've had or they're having, and even today, like, why didn't I go pray for this woman? You know, I'll be honest. I really didn't have any faith. You know, I could be spiritual about it. Well, I just wasn't feeling led of the Holy Spirit, you know, whatever. Christians do all sorts of things to explain away their unbelief and or their lack of love and or whatever else they're dealing with. Anyway, so we have to realize, here's just a little, I've been in this for 20, you know, some odd years now, really going after it. Fear is always going to be an issue in our lives at some level. I'm not saying this as like an excuse for sin, but I want to tell you right now that if you think, I mean, there's areas where we get free from things and we get a level of fearlessness, but whenever you're entering into something new, there's always a fear issue that gets touched. You're starting a new career. You don't have the experience. You don't have the confidence, right? You struggle with fear. You start something new. You start a new relationship. Whatever it is, fear is always an issue. So it's always going to be an issue, because let's just say, you know, we see a lot of things healed at a certain level. But, you know, if all of a sudden I just start to be around all sorts of people that are severely crippled, I'm going to have to get in touch with my own fear, because guess what happens? You know why these healing evangelists often don't pray for people in the wheelchair? They don't want to look bad in front of millions of people. I'm just being honest. They don't just go up and pray for every wheelchair that they see. I've been in some of those meetings. I've seen the biggest names in healing walk by wheelchairs. And I know why. It's because they don't want anybody to see them fail. Because they're the healer. That's just real. You know, I wish they'd be more honest about it. I just don't see that many wheelchairs. I saw 12 wheelchairs in this one meeting. One woman sort of got out of one wheelchair. And it was a sort of thing. You know, it was not, it was kind of like, I see trees, I see trees walking kind of thing. It wasn't like she was like running, right? It wasn't that level of healing. But they were naming it as a healing. But I was thinking, what about the other 12? All right. Steps to overcoming fear in your life. You have to wage war on it. You have to. It's fear is an enemy. It's like it's an illegal resident in our lives. We need to root it out of our lives. You have to wage war on it. Mike Bickle says it this way. If you can live without something, you will. If you can live without being free from fear, you're going to continue to live with your fear. Somebody's got to rise up and say, I'm done with fear. Tonight, I would love it. You know what? Just one or two. I mean, it would be great if there's like almost 30 of us in here, right? I counted earlier, right? There's almost 30 people. If just two people walked out of here fearless tonight. Amen. I mean, one.
Why not all?
Yeah, but why not all?
Yeah.
Jesus healed them all. I know it's God's will for you in Christ Jesus that every person have their fear slayed tonight,
yeah.
Right? When it relates to this issue. Okay, here's another little thing. We will fail in healing the sick. I'm not saying that Jesus never failed when he, you know, do you notice everybody says, well, what about in his hometown? It says he could do no mighty miracles there. He just healed the sick. A bad day for Jesus was healing, you know? That was a bad day for Jesus. And there's corporate unbelief in his hometown and all of that. We know that verse. But anyway, we are going to fail in healing the sick, right? We just are. Just got to get used to it. This is how you can overcome fear. Not everybody I'm going to pray for is going to get healed. Do you have to know why? That's where we get into trouble. When we start answering, well, why didn't they get healed? Listen, be careful of that. If you don't know why, if God hasn't revealed to you why, don't come up with a theory. We have to make the connection between faith and fearlessness. We have to, right? Faith is the antithesis to fear, right? So because there's a lot of people that say, I'm a man of faith, I'm a woman of faith, I have great faith, and their life is full of fear. That's why I want you to make the connection. If your life is riddled with all sorts of fear, you are not the person of faith that you think you are. And maybe that's how you'll start working on it, because you've been presenting yourself as, I'm this great person of faith, I have this faith. Yeah, but my life's full of fear too. Oh, I want you to make that connection. You know, when I realized I had fear, when it was related to this issue, because I wasn't seeing fear in other areas, you know, I didn't realize I was paralyzed by fear because I was now entering into a Christian life that I no longer could control like I could as an evangelical. Get around fearless people. I believe that a lot of fearlessness is caught and imparted by being around other people. I've had a lot of people like, Dave, you have less fear than me, so I'm going to hang out with you. And I've gotten around people that have less fear than me, right? We flew to Colorado at one point. We wanted to meet Todd White. You know, he seemed like a guy that didn't have a lot of fear, you know, doesn't have a lot of fear, you know, running up to people on the street, you know, running up to wheelchairs, all that kind of stuff. And I was provoked because he'd only been saved. When we met Todd White, he'd only been a believer for like 6 years. You know? And you know what else? He prayed for people for 6 months or something before he ever saw somebody get healed. So, that's crazy. Nobody knows that. What if I said, hey, you're going to have a powerful healing ministry and you're going to touch people all over the world and you're going to pray for people for the first 6 months and nobody's going to get healed? A lot of you'd be like, I'm out, done. I'm not signing up for that. You know?
What was he like when you went there?
Todd was great. We were at that point, we'd really gotten, Dan was also there. So we were really intrigued because we realized that the man behind Todd White was Dan Moeller. Yeah. So anyway,
that is the Lord.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Dan was, you know, Dan was the deep well there. Anyway, so but again, you want to overcome fear, then get around people who have less fear than you, right? And guess what? It will also help them grow in their fearlessness, because when somebody comes and say, "Hey, you have less fear than me. Let's go out and heal the sick." Guess what? You're both on the line. One is stepping out to overcome fear. The other one has to keep walking in the level of victory that they have. And then perfect love casts out fear. That's leading us kind of towards our ministry time. This verse is powerful. There is no fear in love. That's another thing. Oh, I'm so loving. You know, Christians are like always talking about how much they love, and, you know, all these people that shut down their churches because of fear, but they did it in the name of love. Liars. I'm sorry, they're lying. There is no fear in love. But perfect love drives out fear. Right? I love it. I did all the different translations. Such love has no fear because perfect love expels all fear. This is the language of deliverance, guys. Tells me that there might just be a spirit of fear that needs to be delivered by the man who is love. Do you realize? I don't know, because I didn't, that night, I don't remember anything that was of, but I think I was probably delivered from a spirit of fear on the carpet that night. Because I was having an encounter with love, and I was being called out, and so, whoa, what was that? Something. Anyway. Maybe somebody stepped on a cup. Anyway. I don't know. Sounded like it. Perfect love expels all fear. Perfect love casts out all fear. And or perfect love gets rid of fear. I want us to just think about that, because as we're going to respond to Holy Spirit tonight, if you can connect in a deeper way with the love of God, your fear is going to get dealt with through an encounter. You know? That's one thing about becoming a charismatic, is that I actually believe that encounters were important. Encounters with God to move us along. So, we are going to respond tonight in a couple of ways. And I want us to give us a chance to do this even publicly. I mean, publicly in this room. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. James 5:16. Annette talked about how she didn't like to go to some strange guy and confess her sins when she was still in the Catholic Church. Anyway, but it is a biblical commandment to confess our sins one to another for the purpose of getting healed. If fear is an issue, pray for one another that you may be healed. That's actually what we're going to do as we transition into a ministry time, is we want to give room for that. I confessed some sin tonight, even today. Unbelief. I did not pray for that woman. I need to repent. I don't think I've really done that today. I told Natalie about it, and then I was going to use it as a sermon illustration, and the Holy Spirit's reminding me, Dave, you need to repent. You need to ask my forgiveness, and you need to commit yourself that the next time you see somebody with a walker, that you don't walk by them and commit unbelief again. Right? So, we're going to confess our sins one to another in this area of fear. Again, if the Holy Spirit's telling you to confess the fact that you just stole from, you know, your bank or whatever, we'll let you do it. Because then we're going to all have to be fearful for what's going to happen to you. But anyway, the point is, tonight we really want to dial in on fear. All right? And then we're going to repent for fear. But, you know, the other thing we got to repent of is we need to repent for disobedience. If our fear has been leading us not to pray for the sick, then we need to repent for both the fear and for being disobedient, because we weren't obeying the command in Matthew 10:8 to heal the sick. We weren't obeying that commandment. I didn't obey the commandment today to heal that woman. I didn't even swing the bat. How many hits are you going to get if you never pick up the bat and swing it? Zero. I didn't even give God an opportunity. I didn't even exercise a little bit of faith. Randy Clark used to say, you know, I don't have much faith, but I have enough faith to at least pray. It takes faith to actually pray. So, we're going to repent. I'm really into this whole repent thing right now because that's actually fueling revival across this country. And, you know, we can sit here and say, oh, gosh, we want God to be in our midst. And it's like, what if he's just saying, hey, guys, you guys major in repentance and I'll visit you guys. And then we'll all complain. It's like, oh, my goodness, we have 10 meetings every night now because Holy Spirit's touching people and people getting saved. And I mean, people don't know what they're asking for and they're asking for a revival.
Yeah.
Because it burns people out very, very quickly. These people have no idea what to do in Asbury. Because visitors are showing up, but the people, that's their space, they're already like, when is this thing going to end? Like, oh yeah. No, it's crazy. We often pray for things. We pray for things we have no idea what the implications are. But you know what? I want to see, my vision is, hey, let's see Rock grow that we need to multiply into 3 places and 5 places, and let's just do it that way. It's not about a mile long out the door people that want to show up here. We'll send them to 10 houses. You know, I think that's God's design in revival, is decentralize, not gather and build a big, you know, monument. Anyway, and the last thing we're going to do tonight is we're going to encounter. We're going to pray for one another. We're going to lay hands on some people. I even got my oil here, right? Got my oil. We're going to confess. We're going to repent. We're going to encounter. And I believe that some of you, because God is an equal opportunity offender, right? He will offend your unbelief like he offended my fear, and he will deal with me. And guess what? When you wrestle with God, you're always going to lose in a good way. I got delivered. Perfect love casts out my fear. I encountered the Holy Spirit, who is love. God is love, right? God is love, and the Holy Spirit is God. So if he comes on you, you're encountering love. And if perfect love casts out fear, you know, I'm sorry, but a lot of people, oh, I just want to encounter the love of God. I want to encounter the love of God. But they don't realize that the prescription is, I want to encounter you with my love because I want to deal with all that fear in your life because I gave you 365 days of commandments. Do not fear. All right. So this, I'm going to leave this up here and we're going to actually put some other music on and we're going to wait on the Holy Spirit. And let me just say in Jesus' name, amen. Let me stop this.